Okay, so we're up to session number four in trying to appreciate who R' Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was through his Sfarim and through his teachings. I was asked to take a break. We mentioned last time about Derech Amunah. We were in the middle a little bit, but someone asked me to speak a little bit more about his letters, the letters that he wrote. Now, so I just want to—I'll give a little bit of a background to how the whole thing worked. So first of all, there were times, and the common that Reb Chaim would answer 60 to 70 letters a day. Okay, I appreciate that—60 to 70 letters a day. Like I said previously, it was to anyone, even youngsters, and me. Here's my whole package of letters that I have. Several questions in each one, and it was to anyone that would write. He would end up writing back. At one point, they used to send it on Motzei Shabbos. I'd get it back by Thursday. That's how fast it was. 60 to 70 letters a day. He would first, when he'd have his stack of letters, he'd alphabetize them. He'd go through all the letters and alphabetize them so that he could find that sometimes there were certain senders that sent multiple letters. And instead of, let's say, responding to four different envelopes, he would take all the letters and put it into one envelope so he could save money on the stamps. Can you imagine that? Now here's the Gadol HaDor, right? And then some people are sending letters. He's doing him a favor already. He has to go ahead and try to think about the little extra stamp, and usually it was their stamps anyway. I used to send self-addressed envelopes to him. I heard you didn't have to do that, but I'd like to do that. So with my question, I'd fold my letter and an envelope and get it back. So instead of wasting other people's stamps, he'd send it back. He said it was like Hashavas Aveda. Why should he go ahead, like returning a lost object? Why should he go ahead and waste someone's stamp that's not needed? So he'd literally spend time alphabetizing all the letters so that he could send multiple letters back to one person in one envelope with one stamp. He would also respond to the Kohanim first. Anyone that was a Kohen, he'd get responded to first, then Levi, then the order of the way it came in. So based on the date that it came in. There was once a story that someone wrote, the last name was, I guess, Kahane, Kuf Aleph Hey Nun. So he wasn't sure, is that Kohen? So he didn't know if this person was a Kohen or not. So he said, Suffolk Kohen L'chumra, where you have to be machmir to know if it's a Kohen, and therefore he answered him first, and even said that it's a fulfillment of the mitzvah v'kidashto, the mitzvah to give kavod to a Kohen first, to go ahead and answer the letters first. Now, what he did was, give you an example. So here's my envelope, my self-addressed envelope, my name on it, and he would stamp the back. Kanievsky, Rashbam 23, Bnei Brak. And you wouldn't get back your questions. So I had to, I'd have to photocopy. Here are my questions that I asked him, four questions. I had to photocopy so I remembered what I asked him to see how the answer was. And then I'd get a page, a separate page, a new page back with the letter of the question with the answer. What did he do with the original page? So this is unbelievable. He would write the answer twice. He would write the answer on the page that the sender sent him. Next to the question, he'd write the answer. And then he'd rewrite the answer on his little page that he mailed back to you in the envelope. Why did he do that? This is really something special. Because he said, no Dvar Torah that anyone ever writes should go to waste. And therefore, if he's writing it to me, he doesn't know what's going to happen to it. So therefore, he wrote it for himself as well. And as many people know, later on in the years, over the last bunch of years, his son, Rav Shaul Shlita, started publishing a lot of the letters that he wrote in a book called Das Nota, organized it based on categories and Shulchan Aruch and topical categories, and has been published. So he would write every answer twice, one on the original page, and he kept that, and then he'd send you just the answers in your envelope. Now, to appreciate this, we've all been hearing things and been speaking about how every minute of Reb Chaim, he didn't waste a second. He woke up super early, went to sleep late, was writing his Sfarim that gave tremendous chizuk and enhanced Torah knowledge in the world like none other in many generations. And the Sfarim were very, very important. So he was in the middle of writing the Sefer Derech Chachma, which we spoke about, that was on Kachim, and on the Rambam Kachim, and he stopped in the middle. One of the reasons he couldn't continue was because of the letters. So many people asked him, like, forget the letters already, you know, like you're answering kids, like, forget the letters and go ahead and finish Derech Chachma. Once Rav Yashiv asked him, what are you up to? He went to visit Rav Yashiv on Chagim, and he asked him, his son-in-law, so what are you up to in Derech Chachma? And he told him, I mean, a little bit in the beginning. And he said, if I wouldn't have to answer the letters, I'd be much further on. So the question was, so forget the letters already. Why was it so important? 60 to 70 a day, double writing the answers, not being able to write a Derech Chachma. I mean, this makes no sense. This is the Gadol HaDor. Every little second, he thought of, like we said, Ben Gavra LeGavra during the Aliyahs. He was able to think of these incredible things for the time of the Kra. Like every second, major Chidushim coming out. Forget the letters, right? So he said multiple times, he gave three different reasons why he was answering these letters, okay? One is he said he's not a Rebbe, he doesn't give shiurim, that wasn't the position that he took. And he said every single person is chayiv in harbatzis haTorah. Every person is chayiv to teach Torah to as many people as possible. And he said this is one of his ways of harbatzis haTorah. And this was even before the Das Note that came out and many, many people answered. He said that people ask questions, he gives answers. That's harbatzis haTorah. And that's an amazing thing. He said it's more important than the Derech Chachma. It's more important. He said, first of all, I give chizuk and I motivate people to learn more. Because of these letters, and therefore it's an obligation to go ahead and do it. He said it's a chesed to them. That's the second reason. And the third, he said, who knows what schus I have that I'm still alive? And he said the letters are that. It could be that the letters are that. That's an amazing, amazing thing. You know, it reminds me of a story that the Chafetz Chaim once in Radin, he asked an older bachar to learn with a younger bachar. And he said, look, I don't have time. I don't have time to give an hour a day to go ahead and learn with him. And like he pushed it off. Okay. Several months later, this older bachur with a whole bunch of his chevra came over to the Chafetz Chaim to ask him about a tough kasha on a tosos. And the Chafetz Chaim said, and this was repeated by a Rav in Detroit who was there and saw the Chafetz Chaim say it. He said, we don't need your tosos and your Torah is like worth nothing. He said in Yiddish with much, much stronger letters, words. He said, if you don't know, can't learn with someone else, then your learning is a nothing. I mean, our level of Abbas Torah, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, to answer David Rassman's questions, answering a 15-year-old question, answering an 8-year-old question, you say every person, you have to designate time in your day to answer people, to be able to teach people, no matter what. And that he felt was a very, very important thing. And especially coming from him, you see the level of the chashivas in that. It was interesting. He used to say that he was able to tell the difference between people who wrote, who lived in Eretz Yisrael and wrote in Eretz Yisrael and people that wrote from Chutz La'aretz. He said, Avir the Eretz Yisrael machim. There's something about the air in Eretz Yisrael that allows people to a different level of chachma. He's able to see it in the writings. And he used to talk about that in the letters. Okay, I want to highlight another area of the letters, and this is in a sefer called Tshuva Me'ahava. I mentioned it a couple days ago about the pasuk in Yoel, the source of the Rambam. This is a bunch of letters between Rav Nevinzal and Rav Chaim. Okay, now it was very important to appreciate this for a moment. Anyone who we have the schus of being in the Old City, so. You know, you see Rav Nevinzal walking to the Kotel, his Gemara, you've never seen him walking without his Gemara like this. Right? He's always learning. Rav Nevinzal is always learning. And that's who Rav Chaim was also. They're always learning. So you can only imagine that the letters between the two of them are very terse and not wasting any time and very, very careful with every single word that's being said. Anyone never heard of Nevinzal speak? Every word is careful. You know, Reb Chaim would answer in very, very short right, short words, and even his bracha of buha was not to waste time. Like we're talking about two of the giants of giants of giants, and get a chance to see how they write between each other. So, like I told some of you, the way they write is a very short, and then Baruch Hashem, the people that put this out have notes on the bottom that give you all the background, what's going on between these letters. But I want to highlight one thing, which isn't even a subject of the letters, but it's the way they address each other. And this just shows the kavod that they had for one another, and how Reb Chaim had for Nevensov had for Reb Chaim. Really, this is really remarkable. So, in the first letter over here, which was in Parshas Truma Tovshin Yud Tes, so we're talking about 60 years ago. He writes, "L'chvod Agon Reb Chaim Shlita Chaim Ad Olam." Okay, quotes him Agon Reb Chaim, and he signs it, "Talmido Avigdor," your student Avigdor. Okay, Reb Chaim writes back, "L'chvod Yedidi." My beloved Harav Agon Rabbi Avigdor, and he signs Yedido Chaim Kanievsky, your beloved Chaim Kanievsky. Okay, so far nothing too extreme, but nice way of writing. Then letter number two, Yudches Adat Tavshin Yotes, Lechvod Mori V'Rabbi Hagon Rabbi Chaim. So by letter number two, Nevensal is calling him Mori V'Rabbi. And he signs it, Talmido Avigdor, your student Avigdor. Okay? And Reb Chaim writes back, L'chvod Yedidi Harav Agon Harav Avigdor. Again, Yedido Harav Agon, like he did last time. And he signs it again, Yedido Chaim Kanievsky, your beloved Chaim Kanievsky. And then he has a P.S. Okay? Tzarechin. We need to be ma'ayin. Again, every word Reb Chaim is careful, right? Tzarechin. Shekotev elai, he writes to me, talking in third person, Shekotev elai kimo Talmud. You write to me like a Talmud. Because he addressed him as Mori V'Rabbi, my Rebbe, and he signs it, Talmido Avigdor. He writes to me like a Talmud. Ve'eno el chaverai, but he's my friend. He's only my friend. V'yesh bazech shash loig larash. We have to be worried that this is maybe like making fun. Because you call me a Rebbe. I'm not a Rebbe. I'm your Talmud. I'm your friend. Lachain evaksho. Therefore, I ask permission. Shelo yasakim. Please don't do that. Ve'esmach ma'od lekabel od mechlev imeno. And I'm very excited to have more letters from him. Talking in third person. Okay, it's amazing. He puts in, please don't call me Rebbe and address me like a Talmud. It's not appropriate. This is Reb Chaim is telling Reb Nevensal. Okay, letter number three. Lechvod Mori ve'Rabbi Agon Reb Chaim. Reb Nevensal sticks to his guns and calls him Mori V'Rabbi and signs it Talmido Avigdor, your student Avigdor. Okay, but in this letter, he explains why it's appropriate to call him that way. It's amazing. It's like, hey, nowadays, everyone, you write Rav Agon to everyone, and you write this, and it's cute ways of just, every, the way they dress and the way they sign is all mechushban, all thought out. So Reb Nevensal writes, that which you wrote to me, that I should write to you like a friend, and not like a student to a Rebbe, I don't have to even respond to that. I don't have to answer that. Keep it MS Rebbe. You are my Rebbe. It's just that you're trying to hide that, well, not you, he's talking in third person, he's trying to hide it because of his humility. But besides that, I feel even according to him, that we're just friends. I'm going to prove to you from the Gemara and Bava Metzia and Daf Lamed Gilmed Aleph that still I should do that because Shmuel Amar Ula Talmid Chachamim Shabbat Bavel Omdim Zem Mefnezeh. The Talmid Chachamim in Bavel, they should stand in front of that each other. Vayinu Afilu Gadol Brikatan, even the great one in front of the smaller one. If they're equal, for sure, katan in front of a gadol. So over there, you see a gadol in front of a katan would stand up. If they're equal, for sure, also. And for sure, a katan in front of a gadol, someone who's smaller to stand for someone that's bigger, for sure you should go ahead and stand. So therefore, if he says, first of all, you are my Rebbe. And second of all, even in taina, that you're not my Rebbe, so still, tuvatam yacham, I have to stand one for the other, especially a small one like me, Rebbe Victor, to you, Rebbe Chaim. Okay, so... So he proves it. He proves it that the way he's addressing him is mutter, and it's okay, and if he's going to continue. And b'kachavi, he continues doing it. Okay, so Reb Chaim answers the question. Now, the question, there were other things in this letter over here. So he answers all the other questions. Fine. And then, at the very end of the letter, Reb Chaim writes, hold on, sorry. Oh. Okay, he writes, V'yeser dvar shemechtavo eini maskim lahem klal. I don't agree with anything else that's written in your letter. That's what he writes. Again, and they explain on the bottom. He says, that which he wrote at the end, v'koshchein katom b'fnei gadol, that the small person in front of the big person, he said, I don't, that's not the case over here. There's an amazing thing. Just the way you see the sicha, the conversation in these letters, which everyone was so terse, and everyone's makbid under his mind. But they argue out how do you address someone, and how do you sign a letter, and they go back and forth. And this is amazing. This whole sefer is absolutely incredible to see the tremendous, tremendous breadth of knowledge that that they have in between each other. I want to share we're gonna end right now, but I'll share one letter. Another letter I've shared already. One, I shared another letter that Chaim wrote to me is as follows: when my oldest daughter was four, and my oldest son was three, so it was my first exposure to the Gan system here in Eretz Yisrael. And my daughter comes home, and she made a violin as a project before Shabbos, and my son came home with a harp, and I thought that's so strange, like. You know, like why are we learning about the string instruments at the age of four and age three, the exact same weekend there. So no, they both came and they told me. He said, no, it has to do with the parsha. Parsha's Vayigash. I'm like scratching my head. What in the world? And Parsha's Vayigash has to do with a harp and a violin. So they start singing me the song that Serach played a kinor for Yaakov. To tell him that Yosef is alive, okay, he was going ahead and tell the story. And because Sarah played on the kinor to Yaakov Avinu, to tell him that Yosef was still alive in Mitzrayim, so they made this kinor. I never heard this before. I never heard of this. I couldn't find a Mar Makom, I couldn't find a Rashi, Ramban, I couldn't find it anywhere. So I was learning the mirror at the time, so I went to ask someone, and they said, okay, I'll tell you. And he quoted me from a very, very, very big Rosh Hashiva who was no longer alive. He said, this Rosh Hashiva used to always say there's no such source for this. And somehow it like creeped into like the mainstream Gans that this is what they're teaching. He said, there's no source. There is a source in the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel that Serach told Yaakov that Yosef was still alive, and because of that she was zochah never to die. But it didn't say anything about a kinor. This whole thing with the violin, the harp, whatever it was, it wasn't didn't say anywhere. So I couldn't believe it. It was like it bothered me so much. I was like, how could it be that they're teaching these kids something that you know, makes such a big deal out of the project and the whole thing? It's not true. It really bothered me. So, and I tried searching for it, I'm looking around in the mirror, Otsar Asfarim, nothing doing. I couldn't find any medrash, nothing. So I said, you know, I'm going to write a letter to Chaim Kanievsky, and I'll ask him. Let me see. So I wrote him a letter, and he wrote back, he said, Sefer HaYashar, two words. Sefer HaYashar, I knew that Rabbeinu Tam, the Bali Atosis, had a Sefer HaYashar, it couldn't be there, that's halachic. So I looked in the mirror, Otsar Asfarim, in the catalog, and I found the Sefer HaYashar with the Hagos of Reb Chaim Kanievsky on it. I'm like, this is interesting. So I pulled it out, and I found it's an obscure medrash called the Sefer Yashar. It's not the Medrash Rabbah, it's not the Yalkut Shimoni. It's an obscure medrash, never even heard of it, called the Sefer Yashar. And in there, it tells the story. And it's mamash an amazing story, because when you look it up inside, it explains a lot. And I went right back to that Talmud Chacham and I told him that Reb Chaim told me it's in the Sefer HaYashar. We went to the store, we tried to find it, we bought one. It was very, very exciting. I'll tell you the story just so you could appreciate it. The story is that they were worried, the brothers were worried that if they tell Yaakov that Yosef is still alive, like he would die from shock. But Serach was there, the daughter of Asher, and she knew how to play the kinor. So they knew the music would soothe him. So they went ahead and they asked her to play while telling him that she's alive, so he'd be like calmer, etc. So, and it worked. It worked. Yaakov was able to be makabel. He was able to accept and receive the news that Yosef was still alive. And the Medrash says, because Serach allowed Yaakov to be able to live, meaning that he didn't die because of the news, Mida Keneged Mida, she merited to never die. So when you look up the source and you see it inside, you understand why it was that Serach merited. Well, just because she told Yaakov that Yosef was like, she never died, whatever, do anything. No, it's because since she played the kinor and she allowed Yaakov to have his life, so that went ahead and Mida Keneged Mida gave her that present. So Baruch Hashem, through learning, through asking Reb Chaim, he pointed me in the right direction. I was able to get the whole context of the Medrash, Dan Lekav Schos, and all the teachers that go ahead and make these projects with the kids. Okay, as an additional point, in a future letter, I drew a picture of a harp and of a violin, and I asked Reb Chaim which one is the right kinor. He didn't answer that question. He skipped that one in the list. He gave me the answers to other questions, but that one he left out. Okay, see you later.